Welcome to the Elevation Church Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Ryan Kibbe. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit elevationchurchwisconsin.com.
Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for the thrill of hope. Thank you for Jesus. You are hope. You are hope personified. I thank you, Father, that literally every word that proceeds from my mouth today is dripping with the oil of heaven. As I yield and consecrate myself to you, I pray that others in this room capture a revelation of how holy they are in Christ, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read to you a text here in a different way. You can write in your notes 1 Peter 2:9, Romans 8:17, and Revelation 1:6. And as I was preparing for this, I felt like I was supposed to read the text, three different scriptures together in order. So 1 Peter 2:9, Romans 8:17, and Revelation 1:6. And then what I felt like I was supposed to do was to tell you that two of them were going to be in the New King James, one of them was in the Passion Translation, and you can sort it out later, but I'm supposed to read it as is. So I'm going to start with 1 Peter 2:9, and it says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And since we are his true children, we qualify to share all his treasures. For indeed, we are heirs of God himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that he is and all that he has. We will experience being co-glorified with him, provided that we accept his sufferings as our own. And has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever." Putting those all together, I want to start right here and say this. Favor that is poured out on us, if it stops in here, we become a Dead Sea. This is a church that's 7 years old. If you've been here, and many of you have from day one, and many of you have been here along the journey since, we spent years talking about our royalty in Christ. And all of that is yes and amen. We are heirs. All of the promises of God are yes and amen. We are kings and queens. Kings and queens. Kings and queens. We are princes and princesses. And that is all true. And we've talked about over the years our identity in Christ and walking that out and our value, and all of that is true. You know one thing that we probably haven't majored on as much? The priesthood of every believer. See, it's one thing to operate and know that you're royalty, but did you know that everyone in this room in Christ is a priest to the King Most High? See, in, especially in certain towns and in certain environments, the word priest can be a trigger word to some people. And when they get this notion of priest, they think of certain aspects of Christianity. And there's, listen, this isn't to, I'm not talking about the different expressions. What I'm really after is, I'm after understanding kings and priests and how that affects our little greenhouse here. See, this is really what I want to say. The favor that is poured out on us must go out. As we cultivate this greenhouse, we need to understand our royalty, but we also need to understand our priesthood. It's one thing to know that you're all that in him. It's another thing to pray all that in him. And there's this word that I mentioned in the text called holy that is completely misunderstood, and they think that only a priest or a pastor is holy. So this is kind of the thought process I want to go after. I thought it was going to be one message. It's not one message. It's probably two, maybe three. We'll see. So I'm going to lay some of the foundation today. And then at the end of this message, I feel like God has a how to the why and the what. I feel like he's got an activation step. And I just want to tell you, a lot of times God deals with me. He'll deal with our leaders. He'll deal with our staff. He'll deal with the elders in the church. He'll deal with us off the pulpit so that we can proclaim it in power in the pulpit. So this idea of royalty, I love the fact that we understand and we're beginning to understand our value and we're seeing the aspects of the kingdom that just blow our mind. That's all amazing. And I was going to preach on kings first, and the Lord said, no, preach on priests first. Preach on the aspect of the believer and the priesthood of the believer. So I said, what you would do, you would say, yes, sir. I will do that. I want to just establish again, when I talk about kings and priests, kings, and I'll say this next week when we focus more on the king aspect of it, but kings in the earthly realm accrue resource, money, people, all of that to build earthly empires to dominate. That's what earthly kings without Jesus will do. But our King Jesus brought the resources of heaven so he could serve with the heart of a king. It's this type of king leadership that speaks to his friends, calls his disciples friends and heirs, and serves them with a towel. This is the part of the lordship of Jesus that I think as we begin to break some of the mindsets over the believer, we begin to realize our royalty, we begin to realize our access to King Jesus in ways that we've never imagined. So I'm going to go after this word priest. I'm going to go after this word holy. I'm going to go after this word consecration. I'm going to go after that today. We'll focus more on the kingly side of it because the kingly side of it, this little greenhouse that we're fostering here, the idea is this, is that we create the seeds of greatness. We sow the seeds of greatness in you because you are great in him. And we create this greenhouse where healthy things grow and the seeds of these things get planted. And then we begin to create atmospheres that we want to see, not just in here, but we export it out there. Elevate, equip, engage, come, get equipped, grow in the greenhouse, and then go and plant it in your businesses and in your influences everywhere you go. Create the seeds in here, raising up. We all want to see the fruit of great parenting. We all want to see businesses flourish in a kingdom perspective, serving like King Jesus with the heart of a servant and a towel. We all want to see that, but what starts in here must be exported out there. I pretty much say this every week, yes? That's the kingly side. All government, some of you are going to love this, all government is to provide safety and protection and empowerment. Government was never formed to rob the people so it could build big government. Churches were never formed so that you can make pastors fat and happy. I just felt really good to say. We were formed to be his ecclesia, to transform culture. So let me tell you where I'm really aiming. When the Lord spoke to me this week and he said, consecrate. First of all, that sounds very cutting, Lord. It just seems painful. Why, Ryan, do you always think pain when you think consecrate? And he summoned me to the prayer place in a deeper way this week. I mean, literally, there was one night this week I was here at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I love my sleep, and I don't say that to be super spiritual. I don't say this to brag or anything like that. In fact, I'd rather be asleep than what he was doing to me, but if he's going to do it to me, you get to the benefit of what he's doing to me. You get it too. And he's saying consecration. He's been saying it to our staff. He's been saying it to our team. Pastor Aaron got the word several weeks ago, consecration. This is all a part of being holy. And so I'm laying this groundwork that the greenhouse of kings and queens that we have here, we serve people, we empower them, we create protection and safety so that people can grow up in this beautiful greenhouse, all of us in Christ, walking out our authentic identity. But part of accomplishing Elevate, Equip, Engage, and accomplishing this greenhouse that creates healthy environments out there, the part that we really need to understand is our access as the priesthood of a believer. Let me put it to you like this. We are gates. I love how Aaron said it. We are gates from heaven to earth. We are gates. We're portals from I know that word may trigger somebody, but you're a gate. You're a gate from heaven to earth. That's what mediation is. It's bringing heaven's world to this world. And we pull it down through prayer. Everyone loves the royalty message. Not everyone's impressed with the praying message. Remember that scripture that says we're a peculiar people? How many of you just didn't really thoroughly enjoy being peculiar? No, you don't. Don't lie. Don't lie. When you're pinned to the floor and five of your friends are looking at you like you're a complete buffoon, don't tell me that you enjoy that, because I don't enjoy that. My flesh hates it. You're a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a set apart people. So I've taken a lot of time just to start. I haven't even gotten to the sermon yet. So what is this priest thing, what I'm talking about? I want to talk about that. In the Old Covenant, we see a picture of the priests atoning. And I don't have time to get into it, and really I'm not supposed to get into all the shadows of the Old Testament and how the priests went in or seated in the blood of bulls and goats and sacrificed that to for the appeasement and atonement of sin. But see, it couldn't do its thorough job. It could gloss over, but it couldn't empower. And Jesus was our new in the new covenant. We know that Jesus is the empowerment of sacrifice that brings his sacrifice once and for all. The Bible says he is our king and our priest, and we are made in his image. And in Christ, we are also kings and priests. That is the access that we have. Everything he said and did, we can say and do. And it says that he is a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Read Hebrews on your own time. Melchizedek was this mythological or possible pre-incarnate Christ. Everybody has ideas. But basically it says he received tithes from Abraham and he conferred blessing, and then he broke the bread and the wine, and he was an intercessor. He was a mediator between God and men. I encourage you to read Hebrews. It's a fascinating deal on the old and the new covenant and how Jesus is our high priest. He's constantly making intercession in the heavenly realms. Now, what that doesn't mean is this. It doesn't mean as our high priest, so the old covenant, they always had to do this huge ceremony deal. They had to go through all the sacrifices and this and that. I mean, it was really a laborsome thing to live in that time. Now we have King Jesus, who sacrificed for our sin, and the empowerment of our identity was once and for all settled in the heavenlies. He broke the power of sin. He broke the power of darkness. He broke it all, and he gave us unlimited access to the Father and the throne and all of the blessings that come with it. That's amazing. The problem isn't the provision part. The problem for us is the accessing it part. And so we sit with him in heavenly realms, the Bible says, as kings and priests, as royalty and as priests, as intercessors for what God is doing there and bringing it here, what God is doing there. That means I have to train my mind that God is actually doing something in heaven that he wants to bring here. Right now. Right now. In every sphere of influence, in your businesses, wherever you go, as soon as you go today, God has something going on in heaven he wants brokered here. Our awareness, then, of the fact that we're holy matters. And so Jesus, he settled the issue once and for all. He was our high priest. So if he says he's constantly making intercession, here's what I used to think. Maybe you've been this way. Here I am a Christian, and I got a newsflash for you. I'm not perfect. So I screw up. I say something dumb. My issues, my wounds, trauma, whatever it is, happens. How many of you ever had trauma happen since you received Christ? How many of you ever had wounds and issues and stuff comes out of you that is anything but Christ-like? So here's the dark pit that I once got into, and if I'm not careful, I can do it. I'm learning not to because of consecration, but here's what I would do. Yeah, I screwed up. Jesus, will you intercede for me? I got a wrong view of that. If it was settled once and for all, he's not reminding me of my sins. He's speaking to the Father of how awesome I am and the empowerment that he wants to bring to me in every situation. He says, get rid of looking at the sin. Look at what I'm doing and bring that. Get your eyes on what Jesus is doing, not your pathetic poor flesh and what it's doing. Amen. Well, how do I do that? Wait for it. Consecration. Consecration? What do you mean, consecration? That sounds like circumcision. That sounds cutting. All the guys are going, don't go there, dude. Do not go there. Who told us that consecration was painful? Embracing trauma, wounds, and pain is necessary for this greenhouse to flourish and to have healthy things grow. It's not just dealing with the sin issue. We were talking about this in the staff pre-service prayer today. It's not that the sin issue, I think most Christians understand that they're totally forgiven of their sin. I don't think most Christians understand that they have access to the heavenly realms to break trauma, wounds, and the issues of the heart that are affecting them. They don't know that they have the same access to that as they do the sin issue being broken. And so they don't want to go to intercession and pray because they want to hide behind wounds because they don't know who they are in Christ and the intercessory powers, the Jedi powers that they have right now to pull heaven to earth. You see what I'm saying? And if you don't, I hope we'll get there. So here's what God began to show me is that when I say that all believers are priests, I don't mean that everyone's a pastor. Let me repeat. When I say everyone's a priest, I don't mean everyone is a pastor. I do mean that we have all access to bring all answers from him to hear. Part of consecration is understanding what the word holy is. So as a priest, again, we're focusing on priests more than kings today. As a priest, holy is not this. When I was a kid and I received Christ, I was in a particular denomination that I feel like I could lose my salvation every week. So when I sinned or screwed up or did whatever, how many know when you screw up, you don't feel holy? I don't know about you, but shame comes and goes, well, you're not so holy. And boy, you really preached a good sermon or you did this. And blah, 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 blah. And you don't feel holy. Thank God Jesus is bigger than our emotions. And our feelings about who we are in shame. No. But here's what I would do. When I heard the word holy and set apart, and that's kind of what it means, set apart for consecration and holy are synonymous. Old Testament, New Testament, there's this idea of being set apart. What I took that as a kid was, I got to go to everybody. This was in the 80s now. I got to go to everybody and tell them that their rock music is awful and I'm going to be everybody's Holy Spirit and I'm going to be angry Christian guy and talk about backward masking this and legalism. Boy, I'd just be all up in their grill and I thought that was me being set apart and being holy. Can I tell you? Wrong. There's only one Holy Spirit and he does a way better job than me. So being holy is not being angry at people and shouting them and calling that kingdom. It is not holy being super weird just to be weird. Y'all don't throw stones at me now. Come on. But being set apart is if something weird happens to you, you're more impressed with what he's doing than what your peer pressure is saying. Set apart. So this week, I heard the word consecration. In fact, I want to go to Joshua I'm going to read these scriptures to you. I know I'm running out of time here, but I had to lay a foundation. This is going to go several parts. Would y'all just agree with me, too, that every word that proceeds from a mouth, if you don't understand, I encourage you to go back and listen to this, because what I'm asking for is the anointing of Jesus to break off lies, lids, and limitations that you came in with and about your access to Christ. And I really felt there was a huge lie about prayer and the Word, getting into the Word of God and prayer. I felt like some of you have been limited by shame, or I can't, or that's the pastor's job to teach me the Word and all this. Do you realize you have the Holy Spirit and you can learn on your own? But sometimes we just need a little help from our heavenly friend, Jesus, to help do it. And so this performance treadmill that we get on, oh, I got to read my Bible to impress this person or impress my wife or impress the pastors or impress, perform. It's that same treadmill. And it's all about you trying to sanctify yourself and make yourself holy. And here's the newsflash. As you turn to Joshua 3, I want to define what holy is. Be holy as he is holy really does not mean become holy to do holy things. Here's the good news. In Christ, you already are holy. It is a fruit. What you do is a manifestation of who you are. It's a manifestation. Not everything you say and do may be holy-like, but understand you don't have to strive to become holy. In Christ, you already are. And you, when you awaken to your authentic identity in Christ, you begin to see aspects of Jesus in you that marry who he says you are. Your kingship and your priesthood. They come together. And it's forged in prayer. Let me tell you something. What never works for me is always navel-gazing at everything that's wrong with me in the quiet time, because then that always becomes about me, and it becomes about me, and that's a dead sea. But once I, like Michelangelo, begin to look at this thing that he says I am, and he declares you beautiful, it's like Michelangelo, when he was asked about this, he began to shape this creation based on what he saw, and it fit what the artist saw. Know how he sees you, and then in prayer, you're forged to become more and more like Jesus. Does this make sense? That's the priesthood. That's the intercession. It's not, I'm going to go get around a bunch of people and pray just in the spirit or whatever to impress people. No, or to do it by yourself. That's not what it is. The priesthood of the believer is getting into agreement with what the Holy Spirit is saying in the moment for you and for other people. And if the issues and the hairballs of the heart come up at that moment, great. But don't go into the secret place trying to always fix and navel gaze the problems. Get impressed with what he's doing as a gatekeeper, as an intercessor, as a priest, and bring that from there to here, and it'll transform your problems just like that. Just like, that's your how, by the way. That's your how. That's your how. See, if I go in, oh, I'm just always depressed. What are you focusing on? What heaven's doing? Is heaven depressed? Bring joy into the depression. Well, how do I do that? I don't know. Go ask King Jesus. He may tell you to watch a goofy, funny show or a sitcom on TV. Well, that's not spiritual. Let me tell you something. Who told you that isn't spiritual? Just read your Bible. Do you know how many hilarious stories are in the Bible? Okay, back to Joshua. So do you understand that in Christ you're already holy even if you don't feel like it? This is the word of the Lord for us right now. So I want to say this. When I read these scriptures right now, this is for our house right now. God is summoning us to a consecration. Earlier this week, I heard the word, cancel the noise. Y'all ever listen to those Bose radio things, those earphones where it makes everything clear? You can just hear really clear. You put it over there, it cancels all the white noise and all the background noise. God is summoning us. Let me be as blunt and clear as I can. God is putting a brick wall of love right in your face. He's putting a brick wall of love right in your face. And he's saying, I want you to walk through the brick wall of love, and everything that passes through, you're going to be completely transformed, but everything that doesn't need to come with you dies. That's consecration. That means I have to do something that I didn't do before, but it's not me doing it. Jesus Christ energizes and empowers me to do it. Of my own works, I can't boast, but of him I can. And so whatever he calls me to, he'll get me through, and I'll thrive because of it. And any lie that prohibits you from going where he's taking you needs to be flushed, but at first has to be challenged by your agreement to let him take you where he's going. Did you guys hear Pastor Julie's message, Backpack Jesus? It's no longer, gang, this, I'm going to put Jesus in my backpack and bring out my genie when I need him, like in a bottle, so that he'll bless me in the moment, so he'll bless what I'm doing. No, it's, I'm going to offer myself as a living sacrifice, and whatever he's doing, I do. Because he is my life, not just a part of my life. I got to crash land this. It's already 10:13. I got to crash land this. Okay. Joshua 3:5 says this. This was when Joshua was about to cross over. You know the story. You can read it on your own. They were to cross over into the promised land in the old covenant. It's a beautiful archetype of us walking into the promises of God. And right before he walks in to get the promises of God, it says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Elevation Church and anyone listening online with an earshot of this message, let me speak to you clear. Consecrate yourself. Dedicate, set aside time to cancel the noise, to get into the secret place, to do something that God is summoning to you, to break up the monotony and the routine and allow God to deal with the issues of the heart, to confront the trauma, but even more importantly, to step into, through that brick wall of love, your destiny and dreams and visions and empowerments and things that he's called you to, that on this side, you won't get there. And he gave me a scripture to reinforce what I just told you. In Joshua 7, they have already crossed into the promises of God. It's like us living in the promises as believers. They've already crossed over and they've won some battles. And 2020 is coming. And he's saying to Joshua, you've got another thing to fight here. And here's what he says in Joshua 7:13. He says, rise up, consecrate the people, and say, consecrate yourselves. For tomorrow, set aside that time, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, for thus the Lord, the God of Israel, has said, there are things under the ban in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you have removed the things under the ban from your midst. Translation, there are things in our midst that you can't stand against the enemy in 2020 until the issues of the heart are dealt with in 2019, right here, right now, right at this moment. I need you to stand. I didn't even come close to finishing this message, but it's what heaven's doing. Can we have Michael come on up? Here's what we're going to do. You're dismissed. If you need to go, go. This is a consecrated moment. We're going to go after some things. It may spill into the next service. If you have children, I need you to go right now. And don't worry. God will catch you up. If you need to come back in here with your kids, you can bring your kids in here. How many know God's bigger than all of that? Some people are like, oh, I don't want to go get my kids. But no, honor them in there. Bring your kids in here because I need to do altar ministry now. And if you need to go, feel free to go. But here's what I'm not interested in. Aaron, come on up. Here's what I'm not interested in. Guys, I am tired of people laying things at the altar only to pick them up on Monday. Are y'all hearing my heart? I need you to come boldly to the throne of grace. That's what the scripture says. Come boldly to the throne of grace. And whatever is called out here to consecrate, what we're saying is, if you're dealing with certain things, whatever is think of the opposite. Let's not go negative. Let's say, for me, the thing that the Lord was calling me out to, just being totally honest, was time. My time, like yours, is valuable. And I mean, I have to carve out time and schedules and phone calls and texts and emails and social media. And it's like, God. And he's like, what's your most precious right now? Time. So what he dealt with me this week to set a stage for this was he said, I want you to come in here and meet with me and give me something different this week. I'm calling you out. I want your time. Whatever it is, when I say step into being holy, you already are holy. All you're doing is getting into agreement with heaven's answer to whatever affects you. But then let's take it a step further. If you don't have a vision to go where you're going, you'll stay stuck in the cycle of performing and trying to get rid of the thing instead of stepping into your destiny. Does that make sense? It's kind of like an alcoholic who his whole life just becomes about being sober instead of transforming culture. See the difference? One is I'm just trying to get rid of and stay free. The other one is, man, I am not only free, I am set apart. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a chosen generation. My prayers are effective and righteous. It pulls down strongholds and everything that gets in my path gets nailed by the goodness of God. Lie number one I want to challenge right now. You hear the word holy, you immediately go to shame. Come to the altar right now. You hear the word holy for any reason. It doesn't matter. And if you're not and you hear that and you don't feel shame, don't come to the altar for that. But if you do, come to the altar for that. Anytime you get something here, chime in, okay? Rick, can you come up here? Here's my heart. Y'all need to hear this. Nobody loves a great Pentecostal party like me. Here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to lay stuff at the altar, have people pick stuff up. I need for God to invade your life to such a degree, there's such a severity of his goodness over your life, that you literally agree with him that what you came in with, you will not leave with. My daughter prophesied yesterday. She came here early in the morning. She said, Dad, I see a fire consuming everything in here, burning the whole thing up. That includes doubt, unbelief, or any other stuff that we all deal with. And I know we're human, but I'm asking you to partner with Jesus, and let's not make excuses of what we're not. Let's be glorified and magnify him and who he is. And the more he does that, we get our greenhouse, and the things that we want to see, the seeds of greatness out there are birthed in here, and beautiful, healthy things grow up in here. And then we actually accomplish the vision that this church started 7 years for and has contended for. Many of you are the fruits of the identity message. Now I want to see the priesthood message rise. I want to see the rise of intercessors. I want to see the rise of people step into that and go, oh, prayer's not boring. I can't wait to get to God. I can't wait to commune with God in the secret place or just in Walmart on aisle 3. You're so jacked in. It's a life that you've never experienced before. I need change to happen, and I want it to start now. Come on. I know that's bold. I know that's strong. It is Jesus, and if you don't agree, adjust. I need it now. If there's a fight going on you right now, over peer pressure and what other people think, I'm telling you, I get it, been there, done that, I've died 1,000 deaths to it, but there's something about the onion getting peeled. You will not, I'm gonna repeat to you, 2020, we all love the blessing message and it's awesome. If you don't allow God to deal with this right now, he's gonna love you next year, he's gonna love you every year. There's no condemnation in Christ, but I'm gonna be very blunt. You will not step into the victory that is already yours unless you allow the idols of your heart to die this day.
Come on. So in 1 Samuel 1, if you get a chance to read it, go read it. We can't talk about consecration without 1 Samuel 1. And we have these two characters. One's name is Elkanah. And one's name is Hannah, and Elkanah means God has possessed me, and Hannah means grace. And these two characters come together after the word of the Lord comes, and then they birth this consecrated thing, this Samuel is born. And there's something about there being grace present in the room and being possessed by him, and the birth in response to that instead of trying to force it. Amen? Amen? So I just, I pray that there would be like Holy Spirit anesthetic in the room. Mm. And if you get offended with me, that you'd keep it to yourself. You don't have to. I'm tough. But if you've been sanctifying your love of the systems of the world and of Rome with the Seven Mountain Mandate, I want to challenge you to lay that down this morning. If you've been justifying your obsession with politics and your defense of political parties, left or right, with the Seven Mountain Mandate, I want to challenge you to come forward and lay that down today. If you've been trusting in your bank account more than you've been trusting in Jesus, even if you've accepted a lie to sanctify that trusting of your bank account, God just made me a giver, so it's okay for me to trust in my resources because God made me a giver. Or if you've bought the lie that says I'll be generous once God opens up the floodgates of heaven, I want to invite you to come forward and lay that lie down today.
I had a brother this week talked with. He gave me permission. I'm not going to use his name. He gave me permission to share it, talking about this consecration thing. And maybe like him, so many of you may have gone through a place where you've made an inner vow. I guarantee you, people in this room have said, oh, I'm going to vow to I'll never. How many of you ever said that before? Insert whatever. I'll vow. Who is that rooted in? Self. I vow. Oh, really? How's that working for us? As an alcoholic, former alcoholic, which I don't even like labeling because I don't even call myself that anymore. I've been sober for 20-something years, and I don't wake up every day going, I'm trying not to be an alcoholic. That's not my identity. My identity is in Christ, and I'm a redeemed son who's completely shattered the bonds of addiction off my life. That's what God did for me. Notice I didn't vow because I couldn't, but he can. Translate that to any area of your life, and there's grace available at the altar in your quiet time at 2 a.m. when he's talking to you. The lie is coming to God is boring and painful. The truth is come boldly before the throne of grace and he will get upgrades to everything you need. But you got to confront the things that are limiting the blessing over your life. Today's a day of confrontation. That's what my daughter was prophesying over. The fire burning out the stuff that is affecting you to give you hope and vision and a future that is good for you. But the days of just having a Pentecostal party and we feel good and walk out and not change, those days are over. We are changing. We are being formed into his image. We are stewarding what he gives us, and we are continually being transformed because of our yes as living sacrifices. Romans 12:1 says, offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy, set apart. Do you have a response to, I feel like you need to challenge that some of that again. There's more to what you've released.
Stop sanctifying dead religion. Stop coming in with, I've seen it all and I understand it all and I know it all. Stop trusting your theology and your education more than you trust Jesus. And I'm like demanding vulnerability in this moment. If you have a thing in you that is more critical than participatory when it comes to Christianity, that thing has to die today. If you have a thing in you that lets something that someone says from the stage offend you so much that you can't even connect with the Father, that thing needs to die in you today. I need you to understand that these things feel good, but they're distractions and they're keeping you from him. I need you to get a hold of this today. It's keeping you from him. Here's a really big one. The version of Christianity that offended you in the past does not get to be a barrier between you and Jesus anymore. And the leaders and the people that hurt you in the past and mishandled you in the past do not get to keep doing that by being a barrier between you and Jesus.
When you step into something that he's calling you to, I want to continue to remind you, when you confront the things that are confronting you, when you confront them head on, it's getting into agreement with the upgrade that he's called you to. If the pain of your past is bigger than the vision for the future, that's the thing that needs to be confronted. And you need to come right now. If some of you are feeling warfare in the room, it's because there is some. If this was easy, see, the Bible says the anointing destroys yokes and removes burdens. This whole idea of self-improvement is a lie. You can't self-improve anything. We can grow in grace, true, but anything rooted in self is still a lie. It's carnal. It's using human reasoning. The Father gives you every grace made available. The access as a priest is there to intercede for you and for others. The access is there. This idea of self-improvement, trying to self-improve, all you're doing is repackaging self-help and calling it Christianity. You can't self-help. Only Jesus saves. Only Jesus saves. That's the gospel. It's getting into agreement with what he says and stepping into that. So if you had a trauma, You can try to self-help the trauma all day, but it isn't until the anointing that destroys yokes and removes burdens clears out that trauma, shows you what it really is, and you step into the destiny God's called you. These are the things that God's calling us to consecrate and to bring to the altar.
I'm not going to be the pastor today. I'm going to be the teacher. And if for the last 2 months, almost every day from 4 to 6, I get woke up by the Holy Spirit giving me clear direction on what I'm to do to help the body of Christ and do it in synergy with everyone else. Sin is not your barrier to becoming Christ-like. It's who you think you are is your barrier. We don't have a sin problem. We have an identity misunderstanding. If you are sincere about, I want to be Christ-like, I want to be as the new creation that was designed in the new covenant, it's not a one-step or 12-step process, but it is being part of who you truly are. And if you're serious about that, over the next couple months, we are going to give you that opportunity, but it's reciprocal. We can only invite you to the table. We can only give you what we see. But if you're willing to accept that invitation, are willing to walk and believe who you are, then we'll get you there. And if you struggle with your identity, if you have a false belief of who you are, then come and see me. It's not about me. It's about a special anointing that was given to me a number of years ago that I can only release to people who truly have their belief barrier of who they are, their identity. And you're allowing your soul, your mind, will, and emotions to tell you who you are versus the Holy Spirit to define who you are. This is a milestone stepping point for you. And if you're willing to say, I want to be more than I am today in Christ, not in myself, in Christ, so that I can go influence the world, so I can go out and claim new territory for God's kingdom, so that I can walk with the power and authority that was given to me to deliver through love, as Jesus Christ demonstrated. That stick with us, because we're going to get you there this coming year. Because it's not a one-time snap. You've been years to create who you think you are. Give us a little time to create who you really are.
I just asked Aaron about the warfare that he felt in the room. Like, y'all know me? You know me. Most of you know me. This is confrontation, but understand it's like a father's heart with their kids. And there is such warfare over the specific things that Aaron just said when we were calling this out, we were just conferring. There's such warfare that if anything we've called out so far, part of it is the fear of man, of being seen. If any of the things we've called out, I just want you to come right here. There's fire on this. Nobody's forcing anybody to do anything, but anything we've said right here, the clarity, what you're confused by, if you're confused by anything, come right up here. God's going to meet you where you're at. The problem is we don't always think there's a problem, and that's what I'm confronting by His grace. Right up here. Yeah, go ahead.
So before the first service started, we walked out onto the platform, and I looked out, and there was a waterfall already pouring before service even started. So every single one of you that came into the sanctuary here walked through that holy waterfall. And during worship, God was calling people to step out. He has healings. He has changes for your lives. He has purpose for you. And these are free gifts. And when a gift is brought to you, you have to reach out to receive it. But if you don't reach out and receive it, the gift goes unreceived and unused. And that's a travesty. So God has a point for each one of you this morning to do something to receive your gift. It's not about works, and it's not about things that we have to do. It's a free gift. But God is calling you to obedience. And I say that again, God is calling you to obedience. So if He's tugging at your heart, if He is moving you in some small way, I encourage you, get up and do what you're supposed to do. If it's come to the altar, if it's go pray with someone else, if it's step out into the aisleway, if it's to get on your face and cry and pray, then do it. Because today, God wants to make you different. He wants to change you from the inside out, from your DNA, every single molecule. Be obedient. Don't leave here today not changed. Because His desire is to meet you right where you're at.
I want to read this as some of you come up here. Second Corinthians 6:16 says, "What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we're the temple of the living God, just as God said, 'I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.'" This is Paul writing in 2 Corinthians, "Come out from the midst," meaning come out from the things of the heart, come out from the idolatry, be separate, and don't touch what's unclean, and I will welcome you. Ephesians 4:27 says, "Don't give the devil an opportunity." Instead of worrying about giving the devil an opportunity, give God an opportunity. Come to the altar. Come to the altar. Surrender into His joy. This is your how. This is your how. Offer yourself a living sacrifice. Cancel the noise. Cultivate a hearing heart. The wisdom of Solomon, it says he had a hearing heart. And he'll meet you where you're at.
Visit ElevationChurchWisconsin.com for other exciting new content from Elevation Church.